if I could encourage you to do anything, you do all of it. So then your heart, you pay a greater price. You draw closer to God. If you have a desire to have a closer walk, there's one to be had. If you want to have a greater experience with God, there's one to be had. Let me encourage you to do that, because God can satisfy every longing you have in your heart. And that's what I'd like to do, is just see us hunger and thirst after righteousness in our lives. And there's not a one of us that wouldn't make the confession that if we got rid of some of the carnality or more of the carnality and denied ourselves more, took up our cross daily and followed Him, that we all wouldn't feel like we were closer to God. And may God motivate us somehow to let the Holy Spirit have total preeminence in our lives. How many of you say amen to that, that you'd like to have that in your life? I'd like to read a verse of Scripture this morning before we baptize these folks this morning. In Luke chapter 24, verse 47, Jesus gives this commission. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, I believe that there's two places in the Bible where Paul wrote, and he said something about that this gospel had been preached. One place, he said, to every creature on earth. And another place, he said, did they not declare it to the entire world? Now, at the time that Paul wrote that, there was an unknown world. There was the new world, this part that we live in. The North American continent, the South American continent, Australia, New Zealand, a lot of the Far East, the disciples had never been to when Paul wrote that. But to the known world that Alexander the Great had conquered, Paul wrote that, and I believe he meant that the gospel had been declared. But I want to ask you something now. Do you think that there's any nation on earth that has not heard the gospel? At least one person, somebody in it, has heard that there was one called Jesus of Nazareth, that was the Savior of the world. Maybe you find individuals, maybe you find people, but I believe this gospel has been preached to every nation somewhere or another, somehow. Now, what I wanted to talk to you about was baptism. Now, when you look in the Bible about baptism, you'll find it has three different meanings. There is a baptism that is an outward ordinance. It's one of the sacraments that Jesus left the church, to be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one, the second ordinance, was to partake of the broken bread and the shed blood, the wine, in remembrance of His broken body and His shed blood. And the third one was washing the saints' feet. But this outward ordinance, or this sacrament, wherein the washing of the water represents the cleansing of the soul. Now, Scripture reference on that is like Luke 7 and 29 and in Acts 18, 25. But there is a second term, the second meaning to the term baptism, and that's an inward spiritual washing. But it's typed by the outward sign. In other words, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like baptized in water. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized by water? And then there is another way the term baptism is used, and it so often is referred to as the sufferings of Christ. Are you able to drink of the cup? Are you able to be baptized with a baptism that I shall be baptized with? He wasn't talking about a baptism of water. He wasn't talking about an indwelling of the Spirit. He was talking about His own sufferings. The things that He had to endure, the things He had to be put through. Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, and Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Now, baptism by water, as one of the sacraments or one of the ordinances that we as Christians observe, it started off in the Old Testament when God had them wash the animals before He brought them in for sacrifice. Now, we're not sure because the Scripture doesn't tell us, but if you were to take an animal out of the barnyard and you were to be bringing it to church and you were going to bring it up here to offer it as a sacrifice, wouldn't you want to wash it or bathe it and get the barnyard off of it before you brought it into the house of God? Now, that is possibly the reason that God ordained this to happen, and it was a type. Now, I want you to know that still today, the people of that part of the world, the Far East, the Middle East, they even themselves, before they go to pray, before they go to worship, they wash. They wash their hands, they wash their feet, they wash their face, they rinse out their mouth. They prepare themselves for some cleanliness to approach their holy God. Now, there's an old saying, but it's not scripture, that cleanliness is next to godliness, but that's not the scripture. God will receive you in whatever condition you're in, but this is still the tradition of the people of the world over there. If you go to the Muslim mosque, you'll see that they all wash before they go to pray. If you go to the Jewish synagogue, they've got special baths they take and everything else, the mitzvah baths and all, to purify themselves and cleanse themselves, because there is a type here of the cleansing of the water, which is the cleansing of the soul. In the old tabernacle that God gave Moses the design of in the Old Testament, the first thing you came in, there was a lavers of water that you washed in. Then as you went into the second chamber, there was the showbread where you partook of the bread, and then there was the candlesticks which gave the light. And then you went behind the curtain of the holiest of holies, where you could ask God to forgive you of your sins and offer the sacrifice. But the scripture tells us in the New Testament that John, the one who was prophesied by Isaiah, that was to forerun him, that was to prepare the way of the Lord, the scripture says John came baptizing. And John the Baptist, listen to that name, Baptist, because he baptized. And you know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture writes, John the Baptist, it calls him by name. Chapter 14, verse 2, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said to him, some say you are John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Chapter 14, verse 8, the stepdaughter of Herod, when she danced before Herod, when she demanded the head of this preacher, she says, I want the head of John the Baptist. In other words, he became known as John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's the way it's written about him in the scriptures. But people began to call him John the Baptist. Why do you think they call the Baptist today? Because they baptize people by submersion. Because in church history, the first 3 centuries, everybody was baptized by immersion. But then when religion became organized and you lost and you didn't have an experience with God, and you were a Christian just because you were baptized, and the king got ready to send his army off to war, and he wanted everybody to be baptized, he built like a sprinkler system over the gate of the city, and everybody went out of the gate of the city, got sprinkled with water, and therefore they became Christians, and they were baptized. Now, you laugh about it if you want to, but that's exactly where it comes from. In other words, it got easier to baptize. And I know it's a joke, but one time in Dallas, Texas, they had a drought, and they forbid the Baptists to baptize. They told them they could sprinkle, and they made the Methodists use a wet cloth. So, I mean, and things like that become tradition. You find people just separate with you because some would sprinkle and others would say it's got to be by immersion. But I want you to understand what baptism is, not the method, but what it is, and tell you why it is, and then you can have a conviction in your own heart and an understanding why baptism, Christian baptism, the way Brother Branham teaches it, is necessary for you to obey the scriptures and the word of God. Now, Jesus himself, when in Matthew 11, when he was talking to his disciples, he told them, he said, none greater than John the Baptist. Jesus even called him John the Baptist. Later on, his disciples, that after John was put in prison, they came and asked Jesus, said, John the Baptist sent us. So John became known as John the Baptist. He was a man sent from God to forerun the first coming of the Lord, and he became known as John the Baptist because he came preaching repentance, remission of sins, and baptism in water. Another place Paul had asked him, he said, all right, or Jesus asked him, John's baptism, was it of God or was it of the devil? And they couldn't answer because they'd have said, well, if it was of the devil, the people would have stoned him. And if they'd have said it was of God, then Jesus could ask him, well, why weren't you baptized? So the authority of John baptizing was something that was very well established in the New Testament. There's no doubt that he was a baptizer. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 3, and I want to read the incident of where John baptized Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6 is the verse. And were baptized of him and in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now this is John's ministry before Jesus ever showed up to be baptized. Let's read from verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him all Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And folks, I want to say this. I was reminded of this again the other in Jeffersonville when I visited the bridge that Brother Branham had the vision of that built across the Ohio River there. That bridge belongs to Kentucky. And as a result, on both ends of that bridge, the Kentucky emblem is there. And it's a man laying the axe to the root of the trees. I never failed to think of this verse of Scripture, that just as John the Baptist came preaching, laying the axe to the root of the trees, this little preacher came out of Kentucky, and he certainly told the oneness and the Trinitarians, you're both wrong, and here's the way you ought to do it. He laid the axe to the root of the trees. And verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John baptized with water, but here he mentions that second baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then here's the story. Here's the record of where Jesus came to the prophet in the water and was baptized. And this is mentioned in the other Gospels, but this one is the most thorough one. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. So right there you can see that baptism doesn't save you because Jesus didn't need to be saved. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John knew his place. And Jesus answered and said to him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is a type, John, of something that has already happened in the Old Testament, but it's the type of something that's going to be happening now. Then he suffered him, and John baptized Jesus. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and that appears that he came up out of the water. Now, I want to make a confession to you. If you read this in the Greek, baptizo can mean sprinkle, dip, or immerse. Same word in the Greek language, and that's the reason there comes confusion and you can't settle it with somebody. But this here, he went up straightway out of the water. So he went into the water, he came out of the water, is the way the people who believe in sprinkling say it. But those of us who believe in immersion says he went into the water, he went underwater, and he came up out of the water. So I want you to know that I understand why the others do it, but I think there's a purpose that this is to fulfill in a type. Were opened unto and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, if you read that in the original, and Brother Branham interpreted, he said, "In whom I am pleased to dwell." Let me just stop right here and say that I personally believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament in flesh among us. The great God of heaven came down and was virgin born and became one of us and took our place so that we could become like him. Blessed be his name. What a story that. Now, Mark chapter 1 verse 4, you don't have to read this. John did baptize in the wilderness, and he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But John chapter 1 is a verse, chapter 1, verse 28 through 33, is one that's very interesting to me. And I'm doing some research on it. John chapter 1, verse 28. These things were done in Babylon beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said." And John, this is something John had already told him before. "After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, because he was before me." I want you to know that speaks of the deity of Jesus. Because John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. But he said, "He was before I was." And you won't find anybody else that ever introduced that thought until John the Baptist does it right there. John the Baptist has come along here, and it's just like the Scripture says, these things happened until John. And once John the Baptist is on the scene, he gave us terms. He's the first one to call Jesus the Lamb of God. He's the first one to identify him as being eternal. Before I was, he was. He's the first one who ever called him the bridegroom. And you know, those terms have not been improved upon to this day. There's been no preacher, no prophet, no evangelist, nobody that's been able to improve on those terms to refer to Jesus of Nazareth while he was here on earth. You say amen to that? And he said, look at verse 31. This is the interesting one. He said, "And I knew him not." And here's the research I'm doing. He said, "But he," listen to this, "but he that sent me to baptize," no, 31, "and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." John the Baptist had a special commission. Are you listening? John the Baptist had a special commission to do something that nobody else had done. You don't find anybody else baptizing people in water until John the Baptist. It's something that God used him to introduce. Here he's telling us, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." And one of the other records in the New Testament, it said, "Whoever I see the Spirit descend on and remain," that he was to know that was the one. But look at verse 33. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water." Now you have to make up your mind. Did John the Baptist have a commission from God to introduce this as an ordinance? Jesus said, "By what baptism did John baptize?" And I told you before that they said they didn't want to answer because they'd have said, "Well, it's of God." He said, "Then why didn't you obey it?" And if they'd have denied it and said it wasn't of God, then the people would have stoned them, because the people believed it. All of Jerusalem and Judea had come out to hear John. He didn't have any television or radio or newspaper advertising, but there was something happening. And John the Baptist began to baptize, and he said, the same that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I want you folks just to know this personal thing, that whenever I got to the scene of Brother Branham's accident, and when I got to his bedside that morning and he was unconscious and had not spoken and not responded since the operation and the tracheotomy, when I told Brother Branham that I saw the moon come up that morning with that drop of blood on the bottom of it, it looks like a drop of blood going to drop off, Brother Branham tried to sit up in the bed and shout something to me. And as far as I know, that's the last utterance he endeavored to make. But he was unconscious when I got there. I spoke to him. He didn't say anything. But when I started singing, on the wings of a snow white dove, Brother Branham opened his eyes and smiled at me and turned his head toward me. And the nurse said, he responded to you. And that's when I said, Brother Branham, speak the word. Brother Branham, say what you can. And then I told him about what I had seen, and he tried to sit up in bed, and what he said, I don't know, because it didn't come out his vocal cord, it came out the tracheotomy, which they had performed on him. Now, but he said here, John said, somebody told me to baptize, and the same one who told me to baptize you told me that I was going to see the Spirit descend like a dove and remain on him, and that's the one that I was declared to declare to you was going to be the Lamb of God. He said, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Therefore, John the Baptist came baptizing. Now, the Scripture tells us that Jesus did not baptize. Did you know that? John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Next verse, parenthesis, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Whatever this ordinance was that John the Baptist began, the disciples of Jesus continued to do so. John chapter 3, verse 22, it talks about them tarrying and baptizing. I want you to look at chapter 3 of John, verse 23, because this is just a little nugget. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was enough water there to sprinkle them with. No, the Bible says, because there was much water. And I believe that is an indication that you're to be baptized by immersion. There was much water. You don't need much water to sprinkle. But there was much water, and I can tell you, you can go to the Catholic Encyclopedia and find out why they started sprinkling. It's like I told you a while ago, it was just a shortcut and a bypass and a tradition rather than something that God had ordained. And verse 26 of that same chapter, they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. So, Jesus, when he started his public ministry, people came to him. He continued to tell them to be baptized. Now, Jesus had his public ministry. Wherever he went, according to this, his disciples baptized people. Then we come to this point then, that what is the Great Commission that everybody obeys today? Matthew 28:19, where the majority of Christians in the world obey this scripture. Because Jesus said, go ye therefore and baptize all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now without me being prejudiced or against the Trinitarian doctrine, or anything else, just let me read you other scriptures it has here. Let's come to Mark chapter 16. Beginning with verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. What's it done? In his name. Now, I don't find any place where anybody objects to you praying for the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, taking up an offering in the name of the Lord Jesus. But why do these people object to somebody being baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because their Trinitarian doctrine, Brother Branham said, is of the devil. And Satan trembles at the name of Jesus. Therefore, he substituted the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Look at Luke chapter 24. Brother Branham says we'll let the Word speak. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now let's go to John chapter 20. Take all four Gospels. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Now, the first time that we got any record of anybody preaching this publicly was Peter on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. They came and said, what must we do to be saved? Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. An interesting observation I've made with this. The tourist department of the nation of Israel built a very nice place at the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee, at the mouth of the Jordan River. Wonderful place to baptize people. And when they advertised it in the tourist magazines and on the postcards which you can buy, the scripture they chose was Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. The Trinitarians had a fit. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to take God and split him up in three pieces and give him to a Jew. And them who had no Trinitary thought about them at all, when they look for a scripture that says, what are we trying to get these people to do? It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We turn to Acts chapter 19, verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time I ever heard this in my life, I was a little boy, 9 years old, and I was little. And Brother E.J. Hirosher driving a real nice DeSoto automobile. He was preaching in an old brush arbor meeting in Marthaville, Louisiana, and I'll never forget his challenge. He said, if anybody can show me any place in this Bible where anybody was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he said, I'll give them that DeSoto car. Well, I had read Matthew 28:19. And I told my daddy after, I said, I'm fixing to get me a new car. And my mother had to explain to me that Matthew 28:19 didn't mean what them Baptist people had told me, but that Peter fulfilled Acts 2:38. And Brother Hirosher was the first one I ever heard, and he talked about Peter having the keys to the kingdom, and he said it was a combination lock. It was Acts, 2 times to the right and 38 times to the left. Acts 2:38, it unlocked the door to the kingdom. You know, I didn't forget it. Went through Bible school. Met Brother Billy Paul there. They wouldn't let me be the president of the student body because I wasn't a Trinitarian and I didn't believe in baptism according to 28:19, Matthew 29. But I do believe in baptism according to Matthew 28:19. I just believe baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Matthew 28:19. And I never did have an answer. Well, then, why did God let it be put in there if that's not the right way? And Brother Branham come along and said, it's like a guard. It's to come along and see if Matthew 28:19 wasn't in there, everybody would be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sovereignty of God. Now, Brother Branham called it Christian baptism. He believed in immersion. If John the Baptist foreran the first coming, and I believe Brother Branham as John the Baptist foreran the first, I believe Brother Branham foreran the second, it was only right for him to come back again and reestablish this truth. And just as Jesus came to John the Baptist, the first forerunner, in the water at baptism, so did the pillar of fire come and show itself publicly while Brother Branham was baptizing at his first meeting in the river at Louisville, Kentucky. Then when you stop and think about the sovereignty of God, and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so are you sent to forerun the second coming. And if there's anything that caused Brother Branham to lose so-called friends and people to separate until the point today, you can talk about Brother Branham and say, oh, he's Jesus only. That automatically makes him wrong. But the truth is, it's only Jesus. Brother Branham told the oneness they were wrong, but how would you feel if you'd have stood there down there at Charlestown where the cave is and where Nine Pennies Flat and so forth and the ranger's cabin, and you'd have stood there and there's big bluffs coming out of that river where the creek, 14-mile creek, comes down and bends like that. If you'd have been standing there and that voice had boomed out, Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament, and it rung back and forth and echo in that canyon wall. What a sensational experience that must have been. But there was no question about whether Brother Branham believed that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, you can become very dogmatic on this. But Sister Green and I had the privilege to sit right next to Brother Branham in January of 1961. You can hear it on tape when Brother Branham explains the Godhead. It's the place where he says, look, brothers, if you've got a sore on your hand and it scabs over, he says, if I just, every time it scabbed over, I kept pulling it off, he said, it never would get well. And he says, that's the way some of you people are about the Godhead and water baptism. Every time you get there, you pull a scab off of it. And Brother Branham told something that I remembered from then until now, and later on I heard his own voice while he did it on tape. He said, if you want to know how I baptize, he said, I baptized my own son, Billy Paul. He said, according to the commandment of my Lord and Savior, to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, this I do, Billy, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody got any problem with that? Now that is not compromising. That is stating the truth. Matthew 28:19 is much the Word of God as Acts 2:38 is. I've heard some Trinitarians tell me, yeah, but I want to do what Jesus said. I don't want to do what Peter did. He made a mistake. Well, if Peter made a mistake in Acts 2:38, how do you know everything Peter did wasn't a mistake? And I really believe that some of these manuscripts is coming to light now, that you'll find that they all baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think God will give it to them as a witness. One more time. One voice. Just as they heard before, but here's proof. Well, how do I know William Branham's right? Here they got to argue with something that they themselves say is right. But folks, why would anybody want to take a gamble? If you believe that you must be baptized, why would you want to be sprinkled when there could be a possibility was by immersion. Why not just be immersed and be sure? If there's any doubt in your mind about whether Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is a name or not, or his title, won't you just be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm telling you this, folks, because you don't need a revelation of this. What you need is to obey the commandment. But once you have obeyed the commandment, then you're promised the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And the first church age messenger, Paul, comes along, and in Romans and Colossians, he said, we are buried with Christ. So what does this symbolize? Publicly, before believers and unbelievers, you are buried in the water, showing and testifying you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's something that I think can be done in the presence of sinners. I remember one time I was in Switzerland, and we had a bunch of people to baptize, and we went down there in Geneva to the public lake, and I dropped them all off. I told Brother Frank, I'll drive the car and park it, and I'll come back, and you go and get ready. And my wife, she come back and made me park, and she says, honey, them people down there is nude. I said, what? She said, they ain't got on nothing. I said, not the believers. She said, no, them people down there on the beach. She said, I don't want to go down there. I said, well, I don't either, but I got to go tell Brother Frank. And I went down there, and sure enough, there they were, topless, bottomless, and all. I've never seen that in my life. And I asked Brother Frank, I said, Brother Frank, what are you going to do? He said, well, we got to baptize these people. This is the only place we got. I said, well, I tell you what, brother, if you're not going to do some preaching, I am. And you know what? We waded out there in the water and started baptizing those people, and they gathered right around and preached it as hard as we do. You know, but he didn't pay attention. Why? They can't hear the gospel. It's not there. And I'm going to tell you, there wasn't an attractive one in the bunch as far as I was concerned. It's downright ugly. But you see, when you come and you say, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, there's something you need to do before that. You need to repent. And I can tell you today that if you confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive you. It's not how righteous you are, but it's what you believe that He has already done for you. And you confess your sins and say, I'm a sinner. I want them under the blood of Jesus Christ. You come and you're baptized in water, symbolic of His death, burial, and resurrection. And when you come out of there, if you have obeyed that, you come out of there, you can receive the Holy Ghost. You have a promise of it then. This don't save you, but this is the step you take, and God's promised that He'd fill you with the Holy Ghost. But you can come in the wrong attitude, and you go down a dry center and come up a wet one. But you must repent of your sins. Not say, oh, I made mistakes. No, just say, I'm an unbeliever. I've sinned against God, but I want to do what's right. And you come in obedience, and I believe that God will do something for you today.